Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. We worship at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga. If you can't join us in person, you could always join us on the live stream. You can click on our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream, 9 a.m. Sunday mornings. If you miss both of those opportunities, you can always go to our YouTube channel. It's the Seed Christian Fellowship. You can watch our weekly sermons, our weekly children's messages, and our complete worship services. It's our hope, it's our prayer that you'll come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, and go in the power of the Holy Spirit, sowing seeds of faith. Well, we're going to come back to our little study in the Beatitudes. We're going to look at the sixth Beatitude found in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's chapter 5 through 7. Before we come to God's Word, let us come to God in a moment of prayer. God of all grace and truth, help us to see you with all of our hearts and minds. Create in us a clean and pure heart. Amen. I would like to read from the NIV translation, and then I have two other translations for us to just reflect on. I'm just going to read Matthew 5, 1 through 12 in the NIV version. When Jesus saw the crowd, he went up on a mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak, and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Matthew chapter 5, 1 to 12 from the NIV version. I'd like to read Eugene Peterson's Message Bible. I'm going to just read verse 8. I like Eugene Peterson. He's has since passed away. He's written many, many books for pastors and written the Message Bible. This is a paraphrase, so it's a word for thought. It's not a word for word, but it'll help you. And we're going to look at verse 8, which in the NIV is, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Well, in the Message Bible, Peterson translates it this way. You're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and your heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. William Barclay, another wonderful pastor and theologian, wrote it this way. Oh, the bliss of those whose motives are absolutely pure, for they will someday be able to see God. Did you know in 1982, the Los Angeles Times carried the story of Anna Mae Penica, a 62-year-old woman who had been blind from birth. And at age 47, she married a man she met in a Braille class. For the first 15 years of their marriage, he did the seeing for both of them, until he completely lost his vision to retinitis pigmentosa. Mrs. Penica had never seen the green of spring or the blue of a winter sky, Yet because she had grown up in a loving, supportive family, she never felt resentful about her handicap and always exuded a remarkable, cheerful spirit. Then in October of 1981, Dr. Thomas Pettit of the Jules Stein Eye Institute of the University of California, Los Angeles, performed surgery to remove the rare congenital cataracts from the lens of her left eye. And Mrs. Penica, well, she saw for the very first time ever. The newspaper account does not record her initial response, but it does tell us that she found that everything was so much bigger and brighter than she had ever imagined. While she immediately recognized her husband and others she had not known well, other acquaintances were taller or shorter, heavier or skinnier than she had pictured them. Since that day, Mrs. Penica has hardly been able to wait to wake up in the morning, splash her eyes with water, put on her glasses, and enjoy the changing morning light. Her vision is almost 20/30, good enough to pass a driver's test. Think now for a moment, put yourself in the story. Think how wonderful it must have been for Anna Mae Penica when she looked for the first time at the faces she had only felt, or when she saw the kaleidoscope of a Pacific sunset, or a tree waving its branches, or a bird in flight. The gift of physical sight is so wonderful, and the miracle of seeing for the first time, well, I think it can hardly be described. This is what the sixth beatitude is about, seeing God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. These are Jesus' words. Jesus' words tell us how to get 20/20 spiritual vision. If we want to see God, this is the greatest how-to text, pure in heart. The word that Jesus uses for pure, well, it's a really fascinating word. The Greek word is katharos, K-A-T-H-A-R-O-S, katharos, which in their culture was used to mean, well, clean clothes rather than dirty clothes, or how the grain is sifted and winnowed from the chaff. The basic meaning of the word means unmixed, unadulterated, unalloyed, real, genuine, or undivided. This verse could be translated, happy are those whose hearts are undivided, for they will see God. Well, one night at our band of brothers, we had a great discussion about this. Does faith come first to the mind or the heart? That was one of the questions that was asked. Does faith come first to the mind or the heart? What a great question. For some, they replied that it was through the head to the heart, and others said that it was heart to the head. Of course, one of our resident theologians said, friends, it's both. I think when Jesus gave us this beatitude or this blessing, he might have had in mind the idea of keeping our hearts undivided. I think that Jesus might have been reflecting on some of those Old Testament readings and reminding his listeners the importance of keeping their hearts undivided. Maybe Jesus had in mind this passage from Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4. Who may ascend the hill of God? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. That's Psalm 24, verse 3 and 4. Or maybe Jesus had in mind Psalm 86, verse 11. The psalmist says, teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. Psalm 86, 11. Or maybe it was Ezekiel 11, 19 and 20. When the prophet says, I will give you an undivided heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Then they will follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. They will be my people and I will be their God. Ezekiel 11:19 and 20. I love that passage. God's going to give us an undivided heart. Later in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25 and 26, he says, I will sprinkle water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I'll remove from your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Those are some powerful, powerful words. Jeremiah 11. Who doesn't love Jeremiah 29:11? I love that. You know, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Many people love that verse. They stop at that verse. They say, that's my life verse. Verse 11 of chapter 29. I know the plans I have for you, says God. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, and plans to give you a hope and a future. But really, 12, 13, and 14 are so powerful. Listen to what the prophet says. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your hearts. Listen, I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're struggling with, but I know that what this word says, God's not going to play hide and seek. If you seek him, you will find him if you seek him with all of your heart. Tonight, today, whatever time it is you're listening to this program, it's time to seek the Lord with all of your heart. When you seek him with all of your heart, he's going to be found by you. That's what it says, verse 14. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord. I will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. Jeremiah 29:11 and 14. One more passage. It's in Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 39 to 41. I will give them singleness of heart and action, so that they will always fear me for their own good and the good of their children after them. I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and I'll never stop doing good to them, and I will inspire them to fear me so that they will never turn away from me. I will rejoice in doing them good and will assuredly plant them in this land with all my heart and soul. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we would love to have our prayer team pray for you. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the prayer icon. Write your prayer up. And if you want a response, there's a way to respond on that. If you want to just send me an email at pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship, I'll respond. I want you to know we want to pray for you. If you need a Bible, we'll mail you a Bible. We'll put God's Word in your hands. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus confronted the Pharisees. He had plenty of hard words for them when he called them whitewashed tombs. Jesus told them that they were clean on the outside of the cup, but the inside was filthy. The other day, while I was at breakfast with a group of men, I started to drink from the coffee cup, and I noticed that the inside, well, it still had some film or slime in it. Ooh. Of course, I notified my waiter and told him to take the old cup and ask for her to clean it. It was actually a lady. Asked her to clean it. Instead, she brought me a new cup. I thought of this message. Jesus wants our hearts to be clean on the inside if we're able to see God. Martin Lloyd-Jones paraphrased it this way. Blessed are those who are pure, not only on the surface, but in the center of their being and at the source of every activity. In the Bible, the heart is the seat of all of our emotions and actions. The heart was the control center for all that we do. I believe that Jesus is saying that we are not to have mixed motives or divided loyalties when it comes to God. Let me say that again. I truly believe this. I believe what Jesus is saying is that he doesn't want us to have mixed motives or divided loyalties when it comes to God. Of course, the looming questions are, how do we have a pure heart? How do we become perfect or holy as Scriptures teaches us? The truth is that none of us will be perfectly or become perfect meeting any of the Beatitudes. And that's why I called the entire message of the Beatitudes, blessed are the broken. We can never be perfectly poor in spirit. We can never perfectly mourn for our sin. We can never perfectly be meek or hunger and thirst for righteousness. We're never perfectly merciful. So what? All we can do is throw ourselves on the grace of God found in Christ Jesus. In his book, The Problem of Pain, C.S. Lewis said, quote, "It is safe to tell the pure in heart that they shall see God, for only the pure in heart want to." Now that's a deep thought, putting yourself into story. This is a radical truth of Jesus' teaching in the Beatitudes. The sixth Beatitude tells us that the purer our heart becomes, the more we will see of God in this life. Let me say that again. What Jesus, I think, is saying is the more pure our heart becomes, the more we will see God in this life. The more our hearts are focused on God, absorbed with God, concentrated on God, freed from distractions, sincere, single, the more we will see God. As our hearts become purer, the more the Word of God lives and the more creation speaks. Even the adverse circumstances of life seem to sharpen our vision for God. Maybe a good so what question, how do you see God? How do we see God? Well, of course we see God in nature. We see God in creation. We see God in others. We see God in our circumstances, and we see God in God's Word. This past summer, my wife and our oldest grandson and I went to Montana to see our son and his family. We stayed in a cabin along a river. Our host took us fly fishing. In our walks to the river, he pointed out different plants along the path. He had an eye for all that God had created. To be honest with you, without our host, I would have missed a whole lot. I would have thought many of those plants were weeds. I think we are all like that. We need someone to fine-tune our vision so that we can see God better. I use an app on my phone called Stargazer, and when I go out at night, I can point my phone to the sky, and it will tell me which star that I'm looking at and the different formations of the stars. I'm a history buff, and I find it amazing that an astronomer could guide a ship across the ocean and bring it safely into harbor all by looking at the stars. It says in the Bible that God has created all the stars and given them by name. How do you see God? That's my question. How do you see God? Helen Keller, who was blind, was asked once, "Isn't it terrible to be blind?" To which she responded, "Better to be blind and see with your heart than have two good eyes and see nothing." Stop and ponder that thought for a moment. So what? What do all these ancient words mean to us today? How can we live out the Beatitudes? The irony of Mrs. Pinnica's miracle, according to Dr. Pettit, was that surgical techniques available as far back as the 1940s could have corrected her problem. Mrs. Pinnica lived 40 of her 62 sightless years needlessly blind. The truth is that the answer to our seeing God, well, friends, it's existed for thousands of years through God's grace and love. The Bible teaches us that when we turn to God's living Word and ask Jesus into our hearts, we are given a new heart. Our old heart of stone has been replaced by a new heart. When we seek God with all of our heart, the promise is that we will find Him and see Him. In the fall of 1976, I started reading my Bible every day. I read 5 Psalms and 1 chapter of Proverbs. It took me about 15 minutes, and then I was off to work to the tire stores that I ran. One day I went in to clean the restroom. In the fall of 1993, there was a note on the sink. "Dear store manager, God wanted me to tell you that you need to follow him no matter what. You are supposed to follow him. Wow. That was in, someone wrote that and put it in one of our bathrooms. I had been feeling the urging of the Holy Spirit to go to seminary, but had planned on going 4 years later when our youngest daughter had graduated from high school. I had visited several seminaries and made some plans. I had made a deal with God, no scholarship. I'd go to seminary after 1997. If I was offered a scholarship, I'd go when that happened. It was just a few weeks after I found this note that I received the phone call that changed my life. I got a phone call from Dr. Dean Hilly, and he said, "Dave, we'd like to offer you a full scholarship." I was enrolled in seminary in the fall of 1994. Here's my point. When I look back over my life, I find I can see God in nature. That's almost a no-brainer. I can see God when I read the living words of life here in my Bible, but I can also see God in other people. I'll never know the person who left that note. But what I do know is that God used that person to help me to see God better. I also see God in you. I see God working in your lives. I see God in your love for your family and for others. A few weeks ago, I moved. I saw God and the people that helped me move and clean my office. They showed up at 6 a.m. to help me move boxes and boxes and boxes. It was super hot that day when we moved. I get to see God in you just about every single day when I pray for you. Here's my final so what. Do you want to see God? Read your word. Soak your heart, well, 5 minutes. Soak your heart in God's word, 5 minutes of a chapter. I can promise you that in time, your heart is going to be like Anna Marie Penica's eyes. Your heart will be, well, it'll be brand new. It'll be like my app, my Stargazer app. Only this app won't just help you see across the oceans. It will lead you safely home to heaven, where you finally see God in all of his glory. If you don't know what to read, I have a wonderful reading plan. I can send it to you. It's a reading plan of reading one chapter of Proverbs and 5 Psalms and maybe a chapter of the Gospels. But you can start wherever you're at and start reading God's word. I can send that reading plan to you. You can email me at PastorDave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. Proverbs, they're for head wisdom, and Psalms, well, they're for heart wisdom. It's both the head and the heart to see God. I'll send you a reading plan. Just email me. I want you to know that I love to pray for you. You can email me and we'll pray for you. My prayer is that you will come to know the love of God, and that love of God will transform your life, that you'll come to know the love of God, that you'll grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, and that you'll go out into your world, into your family, into your workplace, well, wherever you go, bringing the light and the love of Christ, sowing seeds of faith. That's my prayer. My prayer is to see a revival. My prayer is to see a revival in your heart. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, your word says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." And Lord God, we want to see you. We want to see you more than ever. Open our eyes so that we may see. Open our hearts so that we can understand. Lord, be with us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. I want you to know God loves you, and so do I. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you always. Go in peace and love the Lord. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, PastorDave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center. at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.